Yeah, baby. Yeah.
Yeah,
baby.
Yeah. Happy fucking happy hour. Look at it's Heather fucking McDonald.
Yeah,
here.
Heather McDonald.
Thank you. Thank you.
Comedian
for having
extraordinaire
me.
And really, yeah. really pretty girl.
Yes, and an old friend of mine.
Yes. And thank you for having extremely cold Chardonnay. Just the way I like it.
And
my
say,
mother loved it. Very cold. She'd always ask for the ice bucket at the
me
restaurant.
Too. I put it in the freezer.
And sometimes waiters get really annoyed.
I
like,
put
really?
It in the,
I really have to bring an ice bucket
I
over?
I put it in the freezer or I put an ice cube in it if it's not cold enough. You know what they call it, cougar juice.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, but that waters it down, though. Steph.
Cougar crack.
Steph, you got some lipstick on your teeth. I don't want the whole.
Really?
Yeah, I don't want the whole thing okay. to be. You,
this
by the
good,
way,
this is a good Chardonnay. What
we
kind
just
is it?
We just bent her to our will like a moment ago. She's like, no, I just have tea.
I had a tea.
I have meetings and stuff, and we're like, just have
just
a come drink.
We're enablers.
We're yes, biggest absolutely. Enablers ever.
But you've been at my parties, and
oh my god,
you and I have gotten inebriated.
Very fun parties.
I remember once. This was so funny because their kids were like, what, 3 and 5?
No, my kids are still horrible, but that
no,
little
no, but they
one
were on
the
top
worst.
Of my pool table. She
They're
was
just
busy.
Older and horrible.
She was busy drinking in like another room, and I'm sitting there making sure they don't fall off my pool table.
Yeah, no, my 3-year-old,
not that he
was
cared,
like,
but
literally running.
Yes, exactly.
Like running across the pool table.
Yeah.
Horrible.
And I'm sitting there, I'm like, what the fuck is the mom?
Yeah.
Where I'm is like, it that? And they're just.
I'm not a parent,
out.
So I'm
they're
like
just,
that too.
They're just hanging out drinking.
We went to a party recently. You know, did you ever go to any of Lainey's parties?
No.
So our friend Lainey had a party. She invited us both. I was doing stand-up.
Right.
So my husband, Peter, who enjoys drinking, went. He got a ride there, and he proceeded to get really drunk. He brought all these pomegranates from our house and then proceeded to cut them open on her granite.
Oh.
And she's like, get the hell out of here. So then I'm in Tampa, Florida. And my friend, Liz and Mark, are driving him home, mm-hmm. and they're FaceTiming me, and he's wasted. And then he goes, we're going to go to HQ. It's this, like, bar near my house.
Yeah,
we're going to go to HQ. And Liz is like, yeah, we're going to drop Peter off, and then we're going to park. And she's shaking her head like, no, we're going to fuck. And I'm like, don't leave my husband drunk at 11:30 at the bar. I'm like, no. I'm like, Liz, do not drop him off. They put the child lock on the back seat. He could not get out of the car. I'm like, and I'm watching on FaceTime. I'm like, keep driving. You're minutes from my house. Like, I'm like, just get him home.
Plus, it looks like a crime scene. He's covered with pomegranate juice. Yeah, it looks like blood.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, and then I go, Peter, you know, first of all, they really didn't even want you there if I was not going to be there. Like, I'm the get. You're like the plus one. The fact that you went to the party without me at all was awful.
Oh.
And he goes, well, it's Lainey's fault. She had my favorite B.B. Rutherford Cabernet. And Grand Marnier. So
wow.
I'm like, so just because she had top shelf liquor, it's her fault that you got that drunk. He's like, yes, it is.
Heather, I gotta say, that's some cold shit right there. You're my plus one. That's all you'll ever be is a plus one.
99% of the parties we get invited to, it's because of me.
Right. Okay.
Is Liz still working for the Kardashians?
Yes.
Oh, she
yeah,
is.
Yeah, she's doing really well.
Because I tried
How's
to reach out to Caitlyn, and I can't get a hold of her.
She doesn't work with Caitlyn. She works with Kylie and
Kylie,
Kendall.
Yeah,
it's like, you know.
That's how we all are. Mm-hmm. That's how we became friends, through the whole Kardashian circle.
You know? Okay, wait a minute. Yes. Wait a minute. Do tell. So how are you related to the Kardashian circle?
I met you just really right around the same time I met them. I was friends with Jillian Barbary.
Yeah.
Who actually is on my podcast. My podcast is called Juicy Scoop on Podcast One, and it comes new episodes every Thursday. So I did a great hour with Jillian yesterday, which will come out Thursday. It was really great. So I was friends with Jillian, and this friend of mine, Liz, was very good friends with Jillian. Now, this girl, Liz, I've met in first grade. She's still my best friend from first grade. So Liz, Jillian was doing ice skating with celebrities. And it was like a one season thing, kind of like Dancing with the Stars, but you're ice skating. And Bruce Jenner was one of the stars along with Jillian Barbary.
Oh.
So we went to a taping, and then we met Chris. And then Chris had a viewing
party
of an episode
at her house.
You and your wife, Susanna, and our sons, my youngest son and your son are very close in age. So she was like, I think I just had my baby and Susanna was still pregnant or vice versa.
Yeah, yeah.
And so then throughout the years, we've just like run around the same kind of social circles.
Yeah. Okay. But do you hear from the Kardashians anymore?
Yeah.
Oh, really? I don't.
I'm friends with Chris. Yeah, I'm friends with Chris.
Was there a phone call when you get a little heads up on what was happening with Caitlyn at some point?
You know,
It's like, you're not going to, okay, you're not going to fucking believe, you know what, pour some Chardonnay. You're not going to
well,
fucking,
you know, like,
no, seriously, you're not going to fucking believe this.
I, just like everybody else, I didn't get complete confirmation until I saw the Vanity Fair.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yes.
Even at the ice skating thing, you were like, wow, he likes wearing spandex a lot. For a dude.
You know, at the ice skating thing, in the parking lot of that ice skating thing,
yeah,
there was a makeup artist. I just remember it was like a gay guy who was like in makeup or fashion that happened to be in our group or a friend of Jillian's. And he said, you know, in the 80s, Bruce was trying to become a woman. And I said,
and you're sorry, what now?
It went to the back of my brain.
Right.
But throughout the years, it was always there. And I just thought it was one of those, like, Richard Gere gerbil up the ass stories.
Right, right,
like,
right.
A crazy story. Like, right. I'm like, no, I think he got, you know, plastic surgery and someone came up with this story. Like, he got a nose job. We all saw that he got a
nose
job.
You're like, the Wheaties guy? That's
there.
Crazy. That's crazy. Not the Wheaties guy.
Right. So I just always was like, and then through the years of being social with them, you know, he was so masculine. He loved to golf. He had the helicopter.
He was a staunch conservative.
Yeah, he was really conservative. Yeah. And so I was just like, oh, what a, I didn't think about it much, but I was always like, what a weird rumor. Like the gerbil up the ass of,
that is,
you know,
so weird.
And then, you know, and then there were like little things and we would joke about it on Chelsea Lately and people would ask me and I'm like, I think he just has like body dysmorphia. I think he is just like
he's got his
weird
manorexia,
about plastic surgery.
Manorexia,
yes,
going through
stuff
midlife.
Like that. Yeah, yeah, like just right, a little, right. You know, he got the two earrings, but I'm like, black guys wear two earrings. So just because he has two diamonds, does that mean anything? Right. He's around a lot of black people.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So I just never, and not until the pictures came that where he got the tracheotomy, or was that what you call it?
Yeah, the Adam's apple.
The Adam shaped, I was like, that's really weird.
You're like, all right, Ann Coulter has a bigger Adam's apple now. Something is fucked up here, man.
The for sure it's happening was when he was caught painting his nails.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the final, obviously, was when I saw that. Cover.
And he started smoking cigarettes, which I was like, what?
No, what? He always
That's
smoked.
Shocking.
Did he? He never smoked with me.
I saw him smoke when he was...
Now, we're talking about cigarettes.
Cigarettes, yes.
I had a big crush on him in high school. I don't know.
He's a babe. I mean,
he was the picture in my locker. Like, all the girls in my high school, we had his picture, and then the guys all had Farrah Fawcett.
I
so
think
I ran into
thing was
him.
Sort of a secret, but I think it was just one of those things, like very rare occasion, have a cigarette type of thing.
Yeah, that's
like a
really
secret
shocking.
Smoker, you know what I mean? A secret among other. But anyway,
but I ran into him in the green room at Larry King with the. It was all Kardashianed up in there, and I was like, oh my god, I have such a crush on you as a high schooler. You want to come
as
on the show?
As Bruce, you mean?
Yes, uh-huh. He was Bruce, and so he came on the show, and it was not until I'm interviewing him, I'm like, oh, he's kind of a right wing douche. That's kind of a buzzkill. Yeah, and I'm a big homo gay, so now I'm like going, my dream could, I could still marry Bruce Jenner, see? I could marry Caitlyn.
Right.
And all, you know what, Heather, what I find is sometimes your dreams do come true. They just, you know what I mean? They look
they
a little different.
They just take a little longer.
They look a little different.
They take
right?
a little longer.
Yeah. But sometimes God shuts a door and then he shuts a window somewhere else and you're fucked. But sometimes, across the crowded room, you're like, you look like Bruce Jenner.
But here's the thing, like, Heather, I've gotten into numerous arguments with him over same-sex marriage. I mean, he was against it.
Well, I still don't know that he's totally for it.
No, I don't. Yeah, well,
because the new
on
season,
Ellen, he wasn't.
And the new season says
he wants
that
to date girls.
That he, no, the new season coming up of I Am Kate.
Oh.
He says, I can't see myself dating women again. I've already done that.
Oh, I thought the latest I heard is he did want to date women.
If you watch the trailer for the new season,
he
says that. Now,
the plot thickens.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see. But I did meet Caitlin for the first time.
Oh, you have?
Yes, at the Christmas Eve party.
Oh, my God. Oh, how was that?
I mean, you know, she looks great. I mean, you know, and she had some of the cast members from the show who are all very nice.
Did she have a date?
No, she just had a couple of the girls from the show, like Candace Kane and a couple of the other girls whose names I don't remember. But, I mean... it's like, you got to hand it to Chris.
Right.
You know,
that's
her house. It's her Christmas Eve. And it's been a pretty crazy year. But, you know, I do think I do think that what she did was the fastest way to get the world, have their minds wrap around transgender.
Yeah, yeah.
And accept it. Right. And I don't think it would have ever happened that quickly without this.
Yeah,
so I
no,
think
it's true.
It's true. You know, it's amazing, but it's crazy. One of my friends said it's amazing, but it's crazy.
I wish I liked her better because she does. I think she does have a learning curve in terms of not just what he's like, gay rights, but also just the superficiality and looks and,
but,
you know.
You have to think of it this way. Someone like a Laverne Cox has been, was out gay, I assume, as maybe a teenager, has been living as a woman for many, many years.
Right.
So her experience is going to be totally different. Caitlyn didn't change until she was 65 years old.
Right.
She's never going to understand. It's like I was talking to my husband. We were watching all the women speak about the Bill Cosby horrible story. And we're watching it. We're hearing these beautiful women talking and hearing their stories. And my husband goes, I just don't get it. I mean, if Bill Cosby did that to me, I'd go to the LAPD. I'm like, this fucking asshole. I'm like, because you're 6'3". And since you were about 13, you never had to worry about someone grabbing you, throwing you in the back of a van.
And you didn't want a career in show business, so you weren't worried that Bill Cosby was going to fuck you up.
I'm like, I don't think people realize being in show business, even if someone fucks you, if you sue, you're never going to work in this town again.
Right.
I mean, where's Nicolette Sheridan today? She sued Mark Cherry.
Right.
That was a big, ugly thing. No one's offering her series roles.
Right.
So it's like, and the same thing happens with sexual harassment. Like my friend was once sexually harassed. She worked for this clothing designer and she was so happy to have this job. She had like three awful jobs before it.
Right.
She wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed. This was a great job for her. It was fashion. Yeah. And she's so excited to meet the boss and he grabs her tit and, you know, clearly made it. And
just one of them.
I think it was just one. I think it was one.
John's like, does that even count?
She was very tall. He was very little. I don't know that he can. I don't know that he could grab. It was one tit grab.
Oh, okay.
And she, and I go, oh my God, what are you going to do? Are you going to like, what are you going to do? And she's like, she was crying and she goes, I love this job. Like, I know how to do this job. I like this job. I'm good at this job.
Right.
I don't want to leave this job. So what do you do?
Right.
How do you, like, I had a drama teacher kind of try to kiss me in high school.
The drama.
But we finally had a good drama department and we were going to go to the one acts. And the other people before him just did shitty plays.
You're like, I'm just going to have to take one for the team.
Yeah, and I was like,
I want that goddamn lead in that Moliere play.
I go, please tell him
I want to be Sandy
not to do this again because I want to do the one act. I'm doing Night Mother. I have I'm the mother.
Oh, really?
And I knew if he was forced to leave, nobody would know how to do this, put on this play that I had the lead in.
So, oh my God, how many, by the way, oh my God, we have something else in common, by the way. We both went to USC.
Oh, yes!
For all to see. Our men fight on. Perfect. Okay. USC drama degree. Look at me. Look at me working in my basement. It couldn't be bigger.
Well, I did not, I was not a drama major.
Oh. But I was just gonna, I was laughing because do you know how many bad fucking renditions of Night Mother scenes I saw in acting class at USC?
See,
because there's not two women scenes, so everybody picked Night Mother, and it was just so like, you know, good night, mother. Bang!
I was the mother, and Liz was my daughter.
Oh, really?
That's how full circle this conversation has gone back. It all goes back to Liz.
I played Grandma in Edward Albee's American Dream at USC. I don't know. Perhaps you heard. I was a little bit before you, I'm sure.
So I'm sure
my legend lived on.
Yes.
So, Abby, how long have you been married? I got to ask you this.
15 years.
Are you still having sex on a regular basis?
Oh, for God's sakes, John.
Yes.
Don't.
It's not
lie.
As often as it used to be.
Of course not.
Sure. It's a lot about.
But are you happily married?
Yes.
Look at your face.
You know, I really feel
there's no such thing.
I feel like there's better years and there's bad years.
Right.
Like, not years.
Like, for one.
I just think when you have three kids and you have things happen, like, not to bring it down, but in the last year and a half, like, both my parents died. A job I had for 7 years ended, which was fine, but it changed my schedule. And so I think our dynamic changed a little. We had a lot of drama around both of the deaths with my siblings.
I'm sorry, by the way.
That's okay. But I'm saying, like, so I just think, like,
by the way,
was I happier with my husband in 2013, maybe?
All right.
But well, we're not going
listen,
anywhere.
Listen, this is a leap year. It'll be over
we're
soon.
We're not going anywhere. I think it's going to get better.
Yeah.
I mean, I love...
By the way,
I
you're
know,
the first female comedian we've had in here that John has not said, my father died this year, will you fuck me? So, you know, he respects your marriage.
No, my father just died in November. It's awful. So
it
I,
is. I mean,
so
you know, I, it's weird. It's very weird.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
I could certainly relate.
But, no, I mean, I love my husband.
It caused
me
to start drinking.
I thoroughly trust my husband. We just, I think... He works out of the home and I'm home more. And I just think we get on each other's nerves a little.
Right.
So that's a little bit of it. But then when we go, we haven't gone alone anywhere in a while. Like we need to go on a weekend alone. Those weekends alone. He's coming with me. I'm doing a show in Aspen and Vail, February 19th, Aspen, February 20th, Vail. And he's coming with me and that'll be really fun. Like
yeah,
we
yeah.
will right. have a good time. We will definitely get our boning on.
Oh, good.
Fantastic.
That
That's so romantic.
Yes.
Let's get our boning on, honey.
We definitely do it. We definitely always do it in a hotel.
How old are your kids?
My stepdaughter, who lives with us full time, is 16, uh-huh. and my sons are 13 and 10.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Wait, so you only get your boning on in a hotel? Or what is it about a hotel that just makes you want
to
bone?
Because there's nothing else to do.
Well, it's like, it's almost like, it's like, you know. You're paying for like it's like almost like when the checkout's about
so you're
to happen.
Like whores.
Yeah, and then yeah. you feel like the checkout's at 12 at like 11:40. You're like, do we want to get one more in? Like we paid for this room. Like there's a lot of
the
that.
The kids aren't here.
The kids are not there.
20 like, minutes. He lasts 20 minutes. What a stud.
Well, you know, you got to get your shit together and get out by 12 now. Or like 11:50.
Sean's like, wow.
Well, 11:58 I would start.
I think he's so much with the foreplay. I don't
you know, yeah.
Now, listen, you brought, well, you came in and
yes.
you brought this up, this picture. Look at this. Yes, this was the picture of me walking a pig. We both worked in late night television. I had my own late night show.
Yes.
This was on the cover of the Hollywood Reporter.
I
me
remember
walking
it.
A pig, and I was like, I
read the whole article.
Disney executives were like, I'm like, I don't think anyone will get it, but okay. They thought it would be funny somehow. I don't.
I don't remember the pig. I remembered your hat.
Yeah.
I remembered a big hat.
Like I ever wear a big fucking hat, right?
Yeah.
Like what am I, in Steel Magnolias? I don't... yeah. What about the article? I don't remember what I said.
You said, I think I'll do okay because women control the remote.
I sadly mistaken. sadly. You know when they do all the articles, whether it's about Chelsea or whoever, women in late night, I don't even fucking get mentioned. That's how bad that was.
I totally remember that you were the first one.
Yes.
Because...
So you, I took a bullet for all you fucking
actually,
bitches.
You were, Joan Rivers, though, had her show right before you. Well, years before.
Okay, Joan, yes, yes. Obviously, right.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
Oh, somebody's calling
you. Uh-oh. Are you
is
in
your
trouble
husband?
Already?
It Honey,
is
I got a husband. Hotel room. Hurry.
Sorry.
It's phone time. Yeah, go ahead.
I just hope he's like, oh, God.
Anything with the kids? What's happening?
Yeah, is everything all right?
Well, he doesn't know where the key to the car is.
Everybody hold, please. Talk amongst yourselves.
I might.
Well, Heather deals with a domestic crisis.
All right. So anyway, Heather.
I can't believe the first thing he fucking asked her is, does she fuck her husband anymore? That's terrible.
Well, no, because.
You're like, be careful about the Chelsea Handler stuff. And you're the first thing, you fuck your husband still? Are you happy? Do you love him? I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I'm trying to ease into the Chelsea stuff so she doesn't see it coming. Meanwhile, what? Fucker. Okay, just go right to full metal perv. Oh, hi, Heather.
I'm back.
Hi.
Sorry.
Hi.
I think I have the key to his car in my purse. Shit's going to go down. I'm probably
going to... Oh,
no. All right.
No.
Might not be any hotel boning in
bail. You guys, let me just say, if anything happens to me...
It's him.
That's
what Chris Kardashian said about OJ. Okay.
Oh, did you watch the OJ miniseries
I
starting
didn't.
Last night?
Marsha Clark's my friend. She,
oh
she
my
did Happy
God.
Hour. She did Happy Hour.
It's so good.
Is it?
It is. Sarah Paulson's great playing
By
her.
The way, we should have Marsha back. She was on the Happy
Absolutely.
Hour. She's my buddy. Because I thought she went through the same fucking shit Hillary's going through. Like, women get judged differently.
Oh,
her
my God. Remember the one
hair.
Day she came to court and she'd gotten a blowout and
right.
everyone fucking lost their
everyone
minds?
Everyone was like, oh, my God! Right. And,
yeah.
and everyone was like, oh, she's such a cold bitch. Because she's a strong woman. And it's the same shit Hillary gets. And
yeah.
I just met Hillary this year a couple of times. She's exactly the way Marsha is. If you, by the way, she's on Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour, Volume 1 or 2, one of them.
Yeah, but...
But she's funny as shit. She's warm. She's just like Hillary in person.
I'm getting
she's
a little jealous
warm,
of
smart.
All the comedy shows she's on. I'd like to keep the jobs to the comedians, please. Like, you know, like let's not outsource it to the politicians. Can we keep that?
As far as Hillary.
She's on Broad City. She's doing sketches with Lena Dunham. She's, you know, like, okay, I got it.
SNL.
You're a hoot. Come on.
All right.
Well, she shouldn't have never had OJ try on those gloves, though.
Oh, who? Marsha?
Marsha, yeah.
Now we're back to Marsha. Marsha didn't have him do it. They did it. They chose
that
to do it.
That was the dumbest decision.
But it wasn't
decision.
Her choice.
She did a great job.
OJ was in the jail cell with a hammer.
She did a great job. It was like, I remember they interviewed the jury. They're like, well, we just didn't see any evidence. I was like,
well, you know what? Speaking of the OJ thing, because I totally was obsessed. Don't mean to brag. I have made out with Kato Kaelin post OJ.
Oh.
That is so random.
Thank
I know
you.
Kato.
Who kissed better, him or your husband?
I remember the party where the kissing happened. It was on Sunset in like a big mansion. But then we were just friends after that. Then he would like invite me to parties and we'd talk once in a while. It was pretty fun.
Was it a tongue kiss?
Yeah, like a full makeout.
Was there?
No, I don't know. I don't think there was any titties.
Did he grab a tit?
Like that. No.
He didn't grab one tit?
I don't think so. Not even one tit.
I think the thing, that guy was short, so he could only grab, like, he needed a step stool. He's like, I can only get to one. I don't know. Anyway, sorry. I mean,
yeah.
Yes.
So, getting back
to Marsha Clark.
Yes.
What I recall from being obsessed with the trial, I lived in Brentwood. I rented a house on Dorothy two years after. And Dorothy butts up against Bundy, where the condo was.
Right.
And for years, people would still park in front of my house and take pictures of it. Years after it was over. Anyway, so, but I remember, so they got the jury, so they hired a person to select the jury, and the defense found out that, 50-year-old black women were the least sympathetic to someone like Nicole and the most empathetic to someone like OJ.
Right.
So they got all these, and Marsha was like, I'm so confident, and this is just what I'm remembering, I'm so confident in the enormous amount of evidence they had, which they did.
Yes.
Fine. Have them all be 50-year-old black women. I don't care.
Right.
And that was probably the mistake. Like,
it wasn't just blood and DNA. It was like, no, the carpet fibers from his fucking car.
There was like 25,000
fucking carpet fibers.
And I think that's what the series is really going to even show.
Right.
Even more of the evidence that couldn't make the regular
trial. Did Bruce ever tell you the story about, or did Chris tell you the story when they picked up OJ from the airport the night he got back from Chicago?
No. What's that story?
Oh, God. Steph, did I ever tell you this?
Because of fucking OJ, we have all these goddamn Kardashians. No.
No, they picked him up, according to Bruce, and he said it
Robert Kardashian, right?
Yeah, and he said it on I'm a celebrity, get me out of here, so I'm not talking out of school, but they picked OJ up at the airport when he got back from Chicago. Remember when he...
Right. Yeah. Robert did, right?
Yeah. So,
right.
So Robert and Chris picked him up. But here's the thing. As they're driving, they're halfway home.
Yeah.
And then OJ goes, oh, wait. I left my golf clubs. I got to go back and get my golf clubs. And Chris was like, well, why? We'll just have somebody get them. No, I got to go back and get them. They go back to the airport. He gets his golf clubs. They go, you know, back to, and then OJ goes, I'd just rather, you know, sleep at your house tonight. I don't want all the press, like, sleeping in my house. They sleep at Rob's house.
Right.
So three.
Jesus, you cut one or two people's heads off.
No.
Probably the fucking paparazzi.
Steph,
what the fuck?
Steph, at 3 a.m, Chris looks out the window. And the garage door opens. OJ walks down the street at 3 a.m. with the golf clubs. So their, you know, thought was that the knives are in that golf freaking bag.
Wow.
It was the black bag that they never found, though.
The Kardashian
that Robert was holding. There was like video of Robert taking him home or something, and he had this like black duffel bag that they never found.
But Chris, I mean, and Bruce all always definitely knew that it was OJ. I mean, that's what they told me.
I remember I asked Chris, I'm like, what did you know?
So wait, she was friends with Nicole. I can't remember this whole
Chris one. Was
Robert,
best friends with Nicole.
They were
because
already
Robert
divorced.
Was,
yeah, they
wait,
were all,
wait, was
they
OJ's
were all,
attorney or just friends?
So they were all friends together.
Okay.
Robert and OJ, I want to say, may have even known each other at SC.
Okay.
Or shortly thereafter.
I was walking after I graduated one day at SC, and I walked right by OJ. And that was way before this. I was like, hey, OJ. I was like,
yeah.
Because I was from Buffalo. And he was a Buffalo Bill. I was like, ha, oh, juice.
He was a juice.
Yeah. And that was before any of this. I was like, you know, they're excited. I just looked up. I'm like, it's RJ!
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
But so then the four of them were like a fun couple foursome, you know? Yeah. But then they got, you know, OJ and Nicole broke up, and then Chris and Robert Kardashian broke up. So then Robert and OJ remained friends. You know, they remained close. And then Chris and Nicole were really close. And then Chris married Bruce. And then she was murdered after that. So she was already married to Bruce.
Now, let me get your thought on something. You have your Dun 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 music?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sean, you might want to get us the second drama sting.
Here we go. You ready?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you think Chloe is OJ's daughter?
No. No. I just saw that on the cover of Star. No, no.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I don't know. Mm. I don't know. Because Chris did admit she had an affair. Right? Didn't she admit somewhere that she had an affair? I thought so. I could be mistaken. So
okay, if we're really going to get down to it, Chloe's natural hair is so straight and fine and light. There is no way she is half black. There is no way. And Rob Kardashian Jr. is tall, too. And Chris is tall, and there's other taller people in the family.
All right.
So, in my family of five, all with the same parents, I'm like 5'9". I have a brother who's 6'3", a brother who's 6'2", and I have a sister who's like 5'3". So, I think you can completely have different heights, and it does not mean anything.
No, okay, but I...
So, that is my opinion. I do not think so.
So, now, Heather...
What other theories would you like tested on me?
My interview voice, Heather. Yeah, but USA. Oh my God. Okay, you're from the Valley.
From the Valley. Okay. I was Sanford a full on sorority girl.
Oh my God. Okay, that's where we part ways.
I'm sure I was a
theater geek. I was like freaks and geeks, theater geek.
That's why I didn't really want to do theater, because I came from this all girl Catholic high school, and I was like,
Catholic school. 12 years, hard time, Catholic school.
Oh, my God.
You and my sister. Yeah.
But I wanted to have, like, the full college experience. Like, I wanted to be in the sorority. I wanted to go to the football games. I didn't want to be, like, pulling the rope at theater.
I fucked a USC football player. He had peritonitis. He had that, a dick that...
curved
to the left. Yeah. Yeah, which probably was a divining rod for my later political...
You had a penis.
Actually, I'm sorry. I didn't fuck him. I only blew him. No, because I was Catholic. But I didn't fuck him.
Yeah.
But he had that thing that goes to the left. So it was like sort of blowing someone around a corner. It was a little.
So you were.
Yeah.
So you're blowing at the side of your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was like a walk-on, but he still was a USC football player.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. But he broke his leg. And I started that made the thing a little tougher.
I did too.
Oh,
had sex with a football, but it was post college. He was the quarterback.
Oh, well, of course you
he
had
was
to do
very,
a quarterback.
No,
I
wasn't
had to
a quarterback.
Walk
he was
on,
not a quarterback.
With a fucking broken leg.
Hold
whatever.
On. He was a
whatever,
run-
pretty girl.
He was a running back.
Was he quick?
No, I mean, he was just
was
really
he finding
cute.
Openings?
God, what is his name? Oh, I just remembered.
OJ Simpson.
No.
Not going to say
be
it.
Ridiculous. Don't. She did not.
Oh, is it somebody famous?
She's way younger.
No, he wasn't famous at all.
Oh.
She's way younger than OJ, for fuck's sake. She's way younger than me.
Yes.
I graduated at 83 from USC.
Okay.
Yeah.
I graduated at 2010.
No, you did not. No, you did not. You fucking liar. You're a lying sack of crap. Okay.
So how'd you like the whole thing on Chelsea? You wrote there.
Okay,
and...
I'll get to that, you motherfucker. So
sorry,
let's talk
it's
about...
It's our show, so I just...
All right,
I
you just, were... Okay, both of your parents were real estate agents, and you became a real estate agent as well.
Yeah, that was kind of like my job. Instead of being a bartender or waitress during my time of struggling, doing stand-up and Groundling sketch theater...
We're the same person, except that you're way prettier and more successful. But my point is,
you were
I went to USC
too?
And I did LA Connection, and you did USC and
Groundlings.
And Groundlings,
yeah.
Yeah. And I cleaned planes, and you were a real estate agent.
I was a real estate agent. Well, it made it really easy because my parents were like, you know, anytime I had an audition or anything, I could go do it.
Right.
I could run the lines with my mom. Then I could like go do a listing, you know. And I remember like doing a home inspection on a listing that we had sold. And the night before I was on Malcolm in the Middle. And the guy's like, didn't I just see you on Malcolm in the Middle and you're my realtor? I'm like, yes, that's one guest spot I got out of like 3 years. I don't even have health insurance. Like just
Just fucking buy this out.
Yeah, just buy this out.
It's not mold. It's not mold, okay?
Yeah.
Just fucking buy it. Fucking asshole. All right. So, as John so delicately brought up, let's talk about Chelsea Handler.
No, I mean you were there for
well,
7
listen,
years.
Listen, you were on Chelsea lately.
Yes.
A lot of people know you.
Yes.
You're a fantastic
writer
on the panel.
I was there from day one and writing and producing the show and appearing on it. And it was really, really great. Fabulous for me.
So there's been all this controversy and we were laughing because I thought all these stories get blown out of proportion.
Yes.
Because you said something, got taken out of context, then Chelsea said something back, and then but I think it's important for you to defend yourself.
So what happened was on December 10th
dun, dun, dun.
I did Thea Vaughn's podcast, and
podcasts are evil, I'll tell you right now.
I do a podcast too,
we're
a lot of people's
shit
podcasts
up again.
But you know what? I think that your guard is a little bit down in
yeah.
a podcast, even versus like a radio
that's
show.
That's why we plied you with wine.
Do tell us.
Do tell us some more.
Because that's really what podcast is. You listen anytime, and especially with comedians, it's almost really like you're eavesdropping on a conversation.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, and I'd done, tons of podcasts, my own, been guests on others.
Right.
And the show ended in August of 2014, so this is like a year and 3 months later, and I had recently heard Chelsea on a radio show, on a serious show, like just prior to doing this podcast, and she was being really honest about not enjoying doing the show towards the end, and that she's had a lot of personal and professional relationships end, as they should with the show ending.
Right.
So I was like, that's cool. Like, well, being honest, great, whatever.
Right.
So I went and did this podcast. We did a whole other segment before it got to this part. And Theo started to ask me about my time there. And I proceeded to be really honest. And he goes, it seems like everybody was, scared shitless or whatever he said, scared when they're at Chelsea Lace. And I go, well, I was. I go, I always was like, is this the day? Is this going to end?
Yeah.
And then, so they took that sentence.
Right. You didn't mean that, she scared the
shit
out of me.
No, I was trying to say, I thought I was being very honest and self-deprecating about my own shortcomings.
Right.
I wish I look at my son who's 13, and right before all this went down about a month ago, I said something and he goes, Mom, are you still scared of Chelsea? And I go, God, I guess
I'm scared of Chelsea.
But it's like, but it was more like
I don't even know her. I'm scared of her.
It was more just like a boss situation where, being honest about my own shortcomings. I was scared of my boss when I worked at Robinson's May. I was a little bit scared of my dad. Like, I'm scared if I get pulled over. I'm someone.
Right.
My agent, William Morris, will call me, and I immediately think it's bad news.
Right.
I immediately think, you didn't sell enough tickets. This is, I'm
when
sorry
I was
to
William,
tell you.
By the way, when I was with William Morris, it was always bad news. Oh, my God. Did I tell you I got fired? I opened for Three Dog Night in Las Vegas, and I got fired after the first night.
You made it to one of the dogs.
Oh, my God. The dogs loved me. The manager did not.
But I think
William Morris is like, you work too blue. Okay. I was like, should I?
You work blue?
I just come home. I come home now.
Okay. Get the fuck out of here.
And I never even worked the road. I just got a gig. I was like, okay, I got a gig. Woohoo.
Great. Yeah.
The fucking dogs love me. Look at me. The guy's like, no.
So go ahead.
Anyway, go ahead.
So, I just was being honest about that. Then the rest of the podcast, I went on and told a funny story, very complimentary things about her and everything.
Right.
But I was honest that we were no longer close, which I guess to some people that kind of bummed them out.
Right.
And later on, my friend said, God, I can relate. I remember how sad I was to find out that Laverne and Shirley weren't really friends in real life. And I go, God, that never occurred to me. Like, it never occurred to me not to be honest. I just thought it'd be so much more disingenuous to be like, oh yeah, going over there for drinks tonight, I was just like,
know they're my paid friends,
yeah, like everybody, it's like, it's okay, fine. But all like good, vibes towards her, and like so grateful for the time I had, and it's just a chapter in my life that I
but the people that don't know the story, so then you would say
so then okay. That okay, so then Saturday Like 2 weeks ago, Saturday at like 4, I'm in Denver doing stand up and I'm buying a winter's coat at Macy's. It was an amazing sale. And
okay, this is actually more compelling now.
Yes, it really is. It was like 80% off. Chelsea, I'm going to Chicago. Going to Chicago February 14th. Park West Theater. I needed a really good coat, like a long puffy down with a hood. So I'm buying it and I start seeing these tweets. What they did was the guys that ran the podcast, one of them, unbeknownst to me, had a connection to TMZ, lifted a little segment. From that, TMZ took the one sentence, I was afraid every day, put two faces.
Right.
First of all, the picture that was used
Like Chelsea was like, Tina, bring me the axe!
Yeah. And the picture they used of me was this past Halloween. I was lucky enough to get free tickets to go to the haunted hayride with my children. In exchange,
right over there.
Right. In exchange, they're like, oh, would you walk the black carpet? And can you do a scary face? Oh. So in every picture, I'm like, in a, like, I'm scared.
It was you being
and then
scared
they have a picture of like an unflattering.
Chelsea and the axe.
Yeah. Like, it's crazy. Like, I normally would never have that picture out, but I was trying to, like, help them sell tickets to the haunted hayride. So I'm like, okay. So
you're like, oh, my God, it's Chelsea Handler.
Tina!
Yeah. So
bring me the
I start getting all these awful tweets.
I'm going to fire.
If you were
Heather
afraid.
Heather McDonald.
Yeah. If you were afraid, why didn't you quit? And I'm like, I'm just not going to answer these people back. I'm just going to ignore it. It's just, it's going to get buried. Who cares? So I'm, like, stressing out. I come home, you know. I find out, I'm like, you're number one trending on Facebook, your number. And I go, I don't want to see any of this. Like, I won't read the comments. I'm like, so I come home on Sunday. I'm hanging with family. I'm like freaking out. Tuesday morning, they release the entire podcast. Now, I don't remember what I said on December 10th. This is now like January
20. I don't remember what I said 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, this is like January 22nd or something. So I'm like,
you're fucked. OJ's old lawyers are coming after you.
So I was like, did I say something like even worse? Like, I don't know if I talked about anybody else in the podcast. Like, I was like, oh shit, you know, like,
oh,
what did
shit.
You do, you dummy? So I listened to it as I'm getting ready to go over the hill to do my podcast, Juicy Scoop on Podcast One. And I listened to it as I'm doing my makeup and I go, whew, okay. I said plenty of nice things. Nothing wrong with this.
Right.
I have nothing
because that's not what TMZ is going
to
take.
I have nothing worried
They're
about.
They're going to take the thing out of context.
Right. But I go, I have nothing to worry about. Right. Anybody that listens to the whole thing, as if anyone's going to bother to fucking listen to the whole thing. So I'm like,
oh, this one they do.
Yeah. Good. So I go, okay. So I start driving, trying to get over the hill. It's horrible. I'm listening to Howard Stern as I do, you know, love Sirius. I'm listening to Howard Stern. And it's Chelsea. And he goes, do you want to talk about this writer girl? She goes, yeah, I want to fucking talk about it.
Uh-oh.
And then they said she was afraid of you.
Okay.
And she just goes off. And she was even more vicious on Jenny McCarthy's show.
Oh.
And, you know, she called me, you know, a loser and all this other stuff.
Oh.
And that she was, you know, pissed. And of course, it's not sunshine and roses. And I understand where she's coming from.
Right. She was like another
she
job.
She saw that one sentence. Of course. Like, we had a great time. I opened for her. We did... After Lately, we even sold a scripted show together that didn't go anywhere. But still,
I mean, I think we were talking about the larger thing.
Like,
if everybody
thing
was
of
scared,
just,
there was a lot of rumors that Chelsea was leaving, so
everybody
was scared.
And it was really towards the end of like the show. Exactly.
Right.
So she had, of course, not listened to it and was angry. And I was like, oh, I sound like a fucking freak. I'm not like I'm a Syrian refugee. Like, no, I'm fucking doing a Hollywood job, but I was just being honest about like. Being stressed sometimes.
Right. But the important thing is what she accused
you
of.
So then she said, I could have fired her a bunch of times for a bunch of things that she did. Worst being that she would trade pictures of me to Us Weekly so to get her own picture in the magazines. And she did that 4 years ago, but I still kept her on. And, you know, Howard's like, wow, I can't even imagine. You must be that's so nice of you to keeping her and everything. And I'm driving. This is the first I've ever heard this. Ever heard this rumor coming out of nowhere? I'm like, what? This is insane. And then,
and I know you would never do that. I mean,
first of all, the main thing is she was never in the magazines and I was in them far less.
Yeah.
Like I was probably in them five times in a decade. One for like a small book review.
Right.
Maybe one for something, maybe even, it almost like maybe an After Lately promo with the rest of the cast. Like, nothing, not Heather celebrates her birthday at BOA. I mean, I was never in anything like that.
I got
like
in the tabloids once for trying to steal, who is Melissa Gilbert's husband?
No, you're talking about the other, the Sarah Michelle.
No. Yeah, right. The Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, that's Melissa.
Melissa
Gilbert.
Yeah. Yes. Apparently, I was trying to steal her husband backstage of my late night show and got into a big fight with her.
Well, I'm very.
I never met her, and she was never there. But anyway, so I've only been which once, and I know it was total bullshit. So okay,
total bullshit. So I'm like,
and first,
oh my
and
god,
have I mentioned I'm a homo gay? Okay. Anyway,
I so then, when I was in the tabloids, I was in for the 2008 worst beach bodies in the world.
Oh well, that's true. That's true.
That was true.
No, that part's true.
Okay, so here's the thing. Okay. So I'm like, oh my god, and this is just horrible. Like, how am I going to even defend this? You know, because the thing is, so then people are like, my good friends are like, Heather, is there any way? I go, no, there is no way. I don't even know who to call. What would I have sold? What kind of story would I have sold? Because she shared so much about herself. What am I going to say? She's having a glass of milk today? Like, what kind of scoop could I give? And then I started to think about it. And one of the specific examples she gave was, she said, you know, I didn't want her around me. I was friends with Jen Aniston, and she'd come in and go, tell me about Jennifer Aniston's house. Okay, so we did a scripted show called After Lately. A scripted show where we played ourselves like a Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Right.
So we're working behind the scenes. We would take stories, and then we'd had four separate writers that would write stories.
Sure.
So one of the episodes with Jen Aniston was the guest, and I was like an exaggerated version of myself, so I was really excited that Jen Aniston was there. And in one of the scenes, I say, so tell me about Jen Aniston's house. I've seen it in People. She has an infinity pool. She has the open windows. So I'm like, is she remembering scripted scenes? Then there was another scene where we did a whole storyline where Chelsea takes a picture of my vagina and it gets on the internet.
Geez.
And Juliana Rancic takes credit for it. And then I go, she took all my publicity. So like my character was someone that would, my character on After Lately, so that everybody that kind of was like super fans of the show, a lot of people were just believing it. Right. And I was like, what am I going to do? Am I going to collect all the magazines and circle the three times she was in it? I mean, I Googled Chelsea Handler Us Weekly, and the only thing that popped up was a topless tweet that she put on her own Twitter
herself.
Account.
Right. Yeah.
So I was like, what? You know, but then I had all these people telling me what I should do, and they're like, just ignore it. And I'm like, oh my God, this is like David and Goliath. So then I'm watching The Talk, and they do it.
Wait, someone watches The Talk?
I watch
Stop
The Talk.
Stop it. My friend Aisha Tyler's on there.
Well, here's what they said, okay? Now, I don't know when they taped it, so maybe I, because eventually I gave, so that was Tuesday morning. Thursday at midnight is when I just said, I'm just going to respond on my own podcast so that people can't twist my words, so that I can't get myself in trouble again.
Right.
So I did a statement on my own podcast. We released it, but who gives a shit, you know? 3 days later, no one cares, okay?
Yeah.
But, so I'm watching.
Unless it was negative.
Right.
They wouldn't care.
So yeah, I'm watching The Talk. And here's Julie Chen, and she goes, well, this week in Celebrity Feuds,
comedian
Chelsea Handler fires back to former writer Heather McDonald, claiming that she could have fired her years ago for selling stories about Chelsea to get her own photo. I'm like, God, speed it up!
Like, she's oh my God, with that news voice.
So slowly. And they're like, you know, the question is, have you ever been betrayed like Chelsea has?
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, what? And I'm watching this. And then Sarah Gilbert goes, God, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if you're that miserable, I would think that you could quit. I think Heather could get another job. She's a nice girl when I've met her, but I don't know. Quit, you know, and then Cheryl Underwood's like, I'd like to have them both come on and let's get it going and get these girls back, you know. And I was like, oh my God. Like, this is just so
you're
surreal.
You're like, oh my God, what is happening?
But then again, I'm like, for 7 years, we did topics where oftentimes it was one sentence out of a 4-page L article.
Right.
Like Kate Hudson said, the best sex of her life was so-and-so. But then if you read the whole thing, it was in a movie and like, you know.
What are the chances that you've been pilloried about, who was it? Sarah Gilbert? Which one?
What?
Melissa Gilbert. And then I was pilloried for stealing the other Gilbert's husband,
she was,
Bruce Boxleitner.
No, hers was Sarah Gilbert. Yours was Melissa Gilbert.
Right. I was
supposedly
stealing Melissa Gilbert's husband. Yeah. They're Gilberts, but they're not related.
Because I flirted with him on the show.
And I'm friends with Gilbert Godfrey, so it's all comes
up. Okay, see what I'm saying? All right.
So anyway, I've since, you know, all I can say is like never happened. I didn't do it.
Right.
But I think that I don't know why she said it. It was a vicious attack
because
for
she
my
took
career.
Something out of context.
But I mean to say I stole these stories. I mean that's pretty awful. Since I interview celebrities, I would, you know, eventually I may want to get a job in a writer's room again. And now people, am I going to be known as the tabloid comic? Like that guy is the 9/11 comic who lied about being a 9/11.
No.
Like, I'm like, am I going to be known as like this person that, you know, is, I mean, I'm already making a writer's guild salary. You think I'm calling and going, selling stories for $50 or whatever
exactly.
they get? I mean, it's
exactly.
like so crazy.
Wow.
But it's a really hard thing to defend. It's like,
yeah.
I know how Stephen Avery feels, you know, in Making of a Murderer. I didn't fucking do it. You know, well, it's very hard to defend yourself once someone throws something like,
Unlike OJ who did.
Listen, yes.
And I,
you know, drops a bomb.
I did meet Chelsea once and I don't want to say anything. I don't know her.
But well,
we were on Oxygen Network at the same time. Back in the beginning.
Right, when she did Girls Behaving Badly.
Right. Yeah. I hosted two shows on Oxygen. I've Got a Secret, and it's what this built this house, all my canceled television shows. Anyway,
yes,
Heather,
very
my point is,
by the way.
Thank you very much. I hosted I've Got a Secret and also Pure Oxygen on the Oxygen Network, you know, which was their Today Show.
Right.
And so, and Chelsea was on, that was when she was starting with Girls Behaving Badly. And,
right.
So, but I never met her because, you know, I was in New York. She, I guess, was filming this in L.A., whatever. And so I did meet her at a gay rights thing here that she performed at. Some, I don't remember what it was, Human Rights Campaign, Glad Media Awards, something. And came up to her afterwards. I was like, hey, Chelsea, Stephanie Miller, we were just on Oxygen together. And I got nothing.
Well, that's...
And
this has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've known Chelsea as well. And I've had her on my tour. You know, on my comedy tour, and you know, I could tell you that me and Susanna, you know, my ex-wife, would have dinner with Chelsea, and we would hang out with Chelsea, and then when we were at Chloe's wedding, she just ignored my wife, like as if she didn't exist. She just totally, and that's not you, because I don't want to incriminate you, but that's just her MO, and it has been the MO by a lot of people, including people that have helped her, really helped her. And I don't want to mention names, but people who have helped her, and she blows them off.
That being said, I think she's incredibly talented.
She is.
And I'm like a fan. I love the stuff she,
everybody's, you know, fair to say their own experience, which is all I was doing, you know, and I wasn't dissing her. I was saying my own feelings, my own experience, you know, as a comic and a writer, she has the right to say that Justin Bieber was the worst interview she ever had.
Right.
So it's like, I feel like we have a right too. Like, you
know, you can
say what you want to say.
But
it's
she's
like,
more powerful, and that's a problem.
And that's the problem. I feel badly, you know, if I could go back, I wouldn't have shared that information. I just wouldn't have shared that part of my life. But it's out there now, and... You know,
listen, Lily Tomlin called me after she did this podcast and she said, listen to me, I want this podcast eradicated.
Well, I'll tell you.
Just because, you know, I got her drunk, but she was fantastic.
What did you do? Did you get rid of it?
No, I did not.
No, that's impossible.
No,
it's already airing.
No, and she was fantastic. She was, it's just that
well,
what
was
really
she
amazing.
Was she worried that she
divulged? Because I got her all liquored up.
But did she divulge something that she did not want?
No, she's fucking amazing. She's Lily Tomlin. She's a Grammy,
but I mean,
Oscar.
When I do my podcast,
Tony winner,
we have a couple days in between.
Right.
And I do this. It's never happened yet, but I do say, hey, you know, if afterwards you say, can you just cut out that one thing about when I worked at, you know, whatever.
At the Itchy Kitty.
I say
as a pole dancer.
No. Yeah. I'm like, I can do that, you know, but no one's ever said it because I don't think I'm like out to get.
A good person. We've hung out.
You know, I've been on interviews where they're trying to get more and more. I did one before this where the interviewer was really trying to get me to say something negative about the show in Chelsea. And I wouldn't. I was like, stop it. Right. And then we'd come back from the break. I'm like, she doesn't owe me anything. Stop. And then the few people out there that bothered to like listen that were like freaks and listen to all of them were like, oh my God, Heather over and over has said great things about Chelsea, how much she appreciates the experience, how great it was for her career. Like, this is crazy. Yeah. But the thing is, I'd been so lucky to get, like, honestly, very little hate on the internet throughout all these years. And then to get so much of it.
Wow.
Well, and it was really
hard. The other thing is, I mean, like I say, I think she's amazingly talented. Because the thing that galls you is people go, oh, it's because you're jealous and you're not as successful. I'm like, I will tell you right now, I'm not as successful. So, like, that's, you know, I mean, you know, it's interesting. Like, Amy Schumer's going through all this now. That, she's stealing jokes. And,
right. What do you think of that?
And I love Amy Schumer. And Kathleen Madigan was one of the people said she's... And I love Kathleen Madigan. She's been on Happy Hour. She's my friend.
Does Kathleen think that she did?
I haven't talked to Kathleen. I mean, she's maybe coming to the Super Bowl party Sunday, but she is... I don't know.
And you're invited if you want to come, Heather.
Oh, thank you.
Super Bowl party Sunday.
Yeah, and they'll even Peter.
Well, of course.
Because we'll get incredibly drunk. I do enjoy hanging out with him.
My husband is really, he is a really good time. The great thing about my husband is like,
sounds like it.
We are always on the same page.
We have stuff
page.
That's childproof. We'll lock him in somewhere if need be.
We are actually on the same page about drinking and partying and being social. Like, neither of us ever get jealous. We could go to a party, not see each other for 3 hours. Nobody's worried about each other. We're equally having fun. We could talk to people. Like, that's a great thing. Because I think it's really hard when you're with someone who's, like, antisocial or you worry about what they're doing. And, like, we don't have that.
Right.
But with the Amy Schumer thing, I watched, quite honestly, the day of the talk that I was watching myself.
They kind of
broke it down. They showed the clips of it. I know. It was, like, the Real Housewives of stand-up that week. It was freaking ridiculous.
Of female stand-ups.
Yeah, it was real female stand-up, like, fighting it. And it was so dumb. But I thought the one that was the most blatant, but I don't think anyone would consciously steal something.
Right.
And I don't think she did either. But was the joke that she did in her special, which was Wendy Leibman's 25 years ago, which was, I think that I'm old fashioned. I believe guys should pay for sex. So that's the joke.
Right, right.
And Wendy Leibman would do it in that cadence way
that
she does everything.
I think they should pay.
Yeah. And then and the pause. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she did it. And then Wendy had a really good response on Twitter. She said, I'm not saying that, you know, Amy stole my joke. I'm saying we both wrote it. I just wrote it first. And I thought that was like perfect because what can you do?
Well, you know what?
You know what I mean?
I haven't talked to Kathleen Madigan.
Kathleen Madigan one was a bit in her special maybe a few years ago, which then was a sketch on Amy's show.
Right.
And so Kathleen's joke was, you know, Oprah has so much money. She struggles with her weight. With that much money, you can just have someone, I'm paraphrasing everything, you can just have someone slap the food out of your mouth.
Right.
Have them around 24/7.
Do I have that?
Which is a great idea because it's like people do that with a sober companion. Rich people have a sober companion, keep them from drinking. Why not have a rich person keep you from eating?
A slapper.
And so, so then they did a sketch on Amy Schumer where somebody is like slapping, you hire a slap face or I don't know. They showed just a small clip of it. And, you know, did one of the writers possibly see Kathleen Madigan's thing a few years ago and maybe they did consciously steal it. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they don't remember. Maybe they really thought of it on their own. I mean, it's like so, the thing about stealing jokes, it's like, I remember one time someone's like, oh my God, your drunk dialing bit. They just did it on they just did it on Friends. I go, do you really think a Friends writer was at the fucking Belly Room in 1995
right.
watching me talk about drunk dialing?
Who gives smart a shit? Comedians can get to the same shit. And I haven't talked to Kathleen. I don't know, but you're right. Like,
it's frustrating.
These like controversies like you and Chelsea, like, you know, she stole it. I think Amy Schumer's fabulous. I think Kathleen Madigan's fabulous.
But you know, it would happen.
But like, I thought, you know what's funny? I told you this story, Jay.
Hey, everything okay with you? Everything's
when
okay
I
with
the late
me.
Night show.
Hey, listen, Stephanie,
so
everything good.
This is your Chelsea thing. I never thought of this. I was doing New York Post, New York Times interview right before my late night show launched, Heather. And, you know, they asked, oh, not the competition, you know, Jay. And a Disney executive said, oh, Jay loves Stephanie. A lot of her bits show up on his show that night. because that did happen. And I think, like you said, you listen to my show every day, and sometimes writers, like...
I would turn it off.
We actually did. Here, this is all coming magically full circle with Kardashians. We did a bit called the Simpson Bunch to the Brady Bunch. And it showed up on the Tonight Show the next night. I'm like, that's a little specific. You know, it was a little specific. I did it on my radio show. It showed up on the Tonight Show like the next night. And I literally, I'm in my office. And my assistant's like, Jay Leno's on the phone for you. I was like, fuck. And he's like,
I was like, Jay,
I said, I don't know. A Disney executive said it. I'm really sorry. I don't really know.
So what happened?
No, it was fine. It was fine. It was Jay, so it was fine. Jay, he was just like,
Jay always
I was just
people.
Checking if we had a joke, if we had a problem.
But, you know, if I could interject just for a second.
Yeah.
The truth is, like, you know, on The Tonight Show, there are 20 writers. You know how many times 5 of the 20 will submit the same joke?
Yeah.
All the time. I mean, it's not like, I mean, certain jokes like that, which is why I guess you and I do a lot of stuff about our family and,
right.
and stuff, so nobody could say that you stole it.
Right, right.
You know, but because everybody is going to think, you know, similar jokes
right.
if you're a writer. I mean, it's...
And, you know, sometimes that your biggest, easiest, best laugh is something that is very general.
Right.
Because
yeah.
everybody can laugh at the Tinder joke or whatever is
right.
a hot thing to
right.
make a joke about. But then there's the risk of that happening. And it's like, it happens. And but what's also interesting is being a writer in a room. It's like, I remember I wrote on Keenan Ivory Wayne's late night show, which, you know, I think it was only on for like a year. And I only did like 3 or 4 months on it.
Right.
But he would be doing.
Because everyone was like, they picked that Wayne's brother? Okay. Anyway.
Don't
really?
You dare. I love
I'm sorry. Keenan. I'm sorry. I'm sure he's fantastic. Anyway, go ahead.
But he would be coming up with like a funny bit.
Yeah.
And there was, most of us were stand-ups. And we would say, and then someone would go, Keenan, actually so-and-so does something like that. And you go, okay. And then you wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And it
right,
happened
right,
on Chelsea,
right.
too.
Of course.
Even sometimes one of our head writer who wasn't a stand-up would start doing something. And we'd go, you know what? So-and-so does that. And you go, all right. So it's like, I feel like when you're Amy, the people around her should have been a little more on it. But maybe she'd been doing that Wendy Lehman joke for like 8 years
right,
and nobody
right.
ever stopped her,
well,
you know? And so it's like, but, you know, what can you do? I mean, there's just similar stuff.
I don't know about you, Heather, but I never watch comedy specials. I try not to watch comics because I don't want to ever, you know, be accused of like stealing somebody's. I just want to write it on my
a
own.
A lot of people
you know
do
I mean?
That. I don't feel
I don't
that way.
Wanna...
I like to listen.
Yeah, but then, like,
yeah.
you know, because if
But
you
then
get...
sometimes you might, then I'm like, I'm afraid to. Sometimes I don't want to watch other women because I'm afraid something will be too similar to what I'm already doing.
Well, that's what I mean.
And I don't want to then feel weird about doing
right?
it.
Like,
yes.
You know what? I,
this
I
way
kind
I
of feel like in Heather McDonald's next stand-up special, there's going to be the thing about blowing a USC football player with a hooked dick. I just do, you know, just because she just, you know, she took it in here. And I'm just saying it could have happened to her. Heather McDonald, you are a delight.
Yes,
tell us how to
you
follow you
great,
and
Heather.
How to like. You
Thank
are fucking
you.
Awesome.
Well, on Twitter and Instagram, I'm at Heather McDonald. Facebook is Heather McDonald Comedy. HeatherMcDonald.net.
Tell me your books because I love your
Thank
titles.
You, with
you have
all
two
my
books
dates.
Out.
She has a best selling book.
I have two bestsellers that you can get on Amazon, or you also can get it on audio, and it's My Inappropriate Life. And You'll Never Blue Ball in This Town Again, which is all of my dating and SC and 90s life, is the blue ball one.
I am getting that. I'm getting
and
that immediately.
Has your husband read the book and been like, oh, fuck.
No, he did like it. He liked it.
Look,
he watched,
look at
so this. Can I just plug some
I marry a slut. Send
some on?
Yes.
Can I plug some
Yes,
dates?
Please.
So I'll be in Nashville at Nashville Zanies on February 11th through the 13th. Chicago, February 14th. At the Park West Theater for a special show. I'll be in Aspen on Friday, February 19th at the Wheeler Opera House.
Bawling her husband
and
in the
Vail
hotel room.
On September 20th.
Bawling her husband.
At the Beaver Creek Villar performance.
And your husband will be coming.
He's coming to Aspen
in
and
every
Vail.
Way. Enjoy the comedy. no, you cannot fuck her because her husband will be there.
Yes. Oh, and my podcast, Juicy Scoop on Podcast One. It's free to download and subscribe.
Hey, Heather, thanks for doing the show.
You're
really
fantastic.
Thank you.
You are fucking fantastic. This was fucking fantastic.
By the way, my husband texted me and said the spare key doesn't work, so my child's stuck at school.
By the way, you didn't say fuck once or any bad word. Can you just say something?
I think I said fucking shit.
Fucking shit! Heather McDonald on the Happy Hour Podcast. Love you, baby.
Thank you.